Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. My gosh. They're all going against the wind.
It was basically a cube with inside of sphere where the points of the cube were touching outside of the sphere.
So this isn't anything that just is limited to the United States. It's a worldwide phenomenon.
Hi, this is Ryan Bledsoe, and you are listening to That UFO Podcast.
I'll unmute myself. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy. And just before we get into the show this week, I just want to remind everyone you can now get premium access to the podcast, not only on Patreon, which has been the only way to support in the past, but on Apple subscriptions as well. So all that extra content, ad-free, early access that I've talked about in the past is available as a two-week free trial. There's an AMA with myself and Dan, and there's extra content from George Knapp, Ryan Bledsoe, David Marlar, Sean Cahill, and others up there as well. And also from the guest I'm about to speak to as well, there'll be an extra 5-10 minutes of interview on there just as a thank you, folks. So again, appreciate it if you can check that out if you are on Apple. I have with me James Ian Doley. James, have I said that right?
For the most part, yeah.
Oh, no, Ian Doley.
How'd you know? There you go.
Yes. James. So James sent me this, and you'll know James as either James or James from Engaging the Phenomenon, the YouTube channel, the podcast. And I asked him about pronouncing his name properly, and he spelled it for me phonetically, and I still got it wrong. Second attempt, though. You'll give me that one. Second attempt.
That's too many vowels. It's counterintuitive.
Yeah, well, listen, you've seen my surname probably spelled out. It's not even worth going into. But listen, James, thank you very much for joining us. And we were just saying before recording, it's probably well past due. Been looking forward to having you on.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here, man. Thanks. I remember when you first started your podcast. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I remember it too. It's the year and a bit has flown by, and you were one of the good guys who reached out to me quite early on as well, asking if I would join in on one of your Ask UFO Twitter videos, and there's a lot of cool ones up there as well, and I am horrendous for saying yes and then telling you like 5 or 6 times, oh yeah, I'll send the video over, and I just end up not doing it. But James gets, I've got kids and you're the same, you've got a family and stuff as well, and life gets in the way, but I am going to be better at that in the future, because the videos are worth being on and there's some esteemed company in those as well. So we're going to get to all of that as well, James, but the timing's really good of this. You've come off the back of a big interview. You've just spoken to Luis Elizondo. I know he's been doing the rounds the last few months in the media, not just from the podcast and in YouTube circuit, but he has been on Fox, CNN and all that stuff. So to speak to the man, and everyone's getting a chance to speak to Lou. I don't think many have necessarily done it the justice that you managed to do. So you really made the most of your time. I feel that. So well done on that. Your questions were different, a different approach. It wasn't cookie cutter. And if people haven't listened to it yet, then please go out your way to find Engaging the Phenomenon's channel and go and watch the interview with Lou. How do you feel now, a week past the interview? How you feel it went? Would you have changed anything?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't anticipate it would be that great either. You know, some things I had planned, some things were off the cuff. And, you know, it wasn't, you know, that interview was not for everybody. That's for the research community, the people who are deep into this, because some of the questions I was asking, you know, it's not for a mainstream audience. So I think people within the community will appreciate it more than somebody who's, you know, just trying to be introduced to the subject of UFOs. They're probably not going to understand half of what I'm talking about. And, you know, again, that interview was for me. That was for the research community. That was for the CE5 community and the UFO community.
Well, I would urge people to go and check that out. And if you haven't yet, and like James has just mentioned, the CE5 community, we're going to be talking a lot about that, because many of your questions that were sent in, and I told James this before we hit record, that people were saying to me, I don't necessarily have questions I want you to read, but I just want to know how CE5 works. And we're going to get into that and get right to the basics of it as well. But what I want to start with before we talk about CE5 is your journey to this point. Like, what was it that kind of kickstarted your journey into CE5, UFOs, aliens, and all that stuff? Does it go back to childhood?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I had experiences early on, not just with, you know, what people would call UFO intelligence, but also, you know, metaphysical experiences, out of body experiences that to me, when I was very young, they were very vivid. And it would happen often enough where, you know, I didn't think it was a fluke. I looked at it as some kind of genuine experience of some kind. So even from an early age, I was very open to all this stuff, and I pursued it, you know, all that stuff on, you know, 1990s television, you know, they had UFO shows on and things like that. And to me, I just, I looked at it as something that was pretty normal. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I better watch out. You know, I'm watching or I'm reading into this and I feel weird about it. Nah, it seemed all pretty normal to me.
What sort of experiences are you talking about? Under what circumstances?
I had some experiences when I was younger that I really don't want to go into. I would say that at that age, they were frightening, I guess I can say. And I can't say that it's 100% correlated with the UFO phenomenon, but you could consider them entities. But I have a hunch, you know, in retrospect, after all these years and even when I was having experiences in 2007, that kind of clicked for me where I said, okay, maybe this is associated with this. I did have some, UFO sightings when I was younger, and, but none of those sightings were kind of extraordinary in the sense like the ones that I had in 2007.
And your experiences again in 2007, is that something you're open to discussing? Or again, is it more of a personal thing?
Yeah, the 2007 ones, that's when things kind of came to a head. So at the point in 2007, I had all these different kind of experiences when I was younger. I was researching UFOs at that point too. So, it wasn't like I wasn't into the subject, but then, a series of events occurred that, I see kind of as one major point in my life, I guess. And, actually I have a video on it on my YouTube channel called Dreamtime Contact. And this is actually where it started, because there was a series of events. So this dream time contact one, I'll kind of briefly go through, cause it's related to the future events that happened. So I was at work, I was working an overnight, and right before I'm about to leave, I'm talking to one of my coworkers. He's like a super skeptic, this guy, super atheist or agnostic, very rational minded. Anytime you would kind of bring up a subject that's considered woo, like consciousness or ESP or, you know, anything like that, this guy would just, you know, not, you know, he wasn't kind of open to that kind of stuff. So my conversations with him were very like, hey, how's your family? How are the kids? Nice weather. Nice guy though. And so one day he says to me out of the blue, hey, did you hear about the UFO sightings in Mexico? And I found it very strange that he asked me that. And I said, no, because I hadn't heard about it. And he didn't know about my interest in any of this. So that was very interesting to me. But then I kind of just brushed it off, went home. And I went home. I went to sleep. And I had this this insane lucid dream that I'm driving down one of my old streets in this dream. And it's nighttime. And there's a UFO hovering like 20 feet above me. And it's this electric orange. There's like static or some kind of electricity coming from it that I can feel through my body. And it's humming. And I'm just very reactive because it's a dream. And I'm just trying to get away from it, man. I'm just like driving really fast and like trying to escape it. And I can't get away from it. And, you know, maybe after like 2 minutes as my time in this dream, I woke up and I was just kind of, you know, when you snap out of a dream, you're trying to collect yourself. And then, again, it was an overnight that I worked. So I wake up in the afternoon and one of my family members comes home and comes up to me and say, hey, did you hear about the UFO sightings in Mexico? So I'm like, okay, screw this. Because at this point, it's like there's too many coincidences going on. And I'm like, you know, the hell with this. I'm going to go out and there's this Chinese food down the street, Chinese food place down the street from me that I went to a lot. So I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to go there, get some Chinese food and start my day and whatever. So I get into my car and I'm driving maybe, you know, 200 or 250 feet. And I just see this fireball in the sky and it's stationary. And I'm, you know, as soon as I think that's, you know, that's an effing UFO, it starts to move. And I'm like, holy shit, basically. I'm like, what the frick is going on? And, you know, I said before that, you know, the sighting itself. So, and I tried to chase it. It ended up going out of sight. And I couldn't see it anymore. And I, you know, went all the way this way and it was just out of sight. But it hit me like a ton of bricks at that point again, because, you know, the sighting in itself was remarkable. You know, you have this fireball, you can tell it was low from the size, how big it was. It was much bigger than like a planet or a star, anything like that, way bigger than like the International Space Station. So it had to have been low. Either that or it was ginormous, but I tend to think it was just lower in the atmosphere, you know, maybe 5,000 feet, 10,000 feet in the air. And I just was in like shock almost that all these things that had occurred that led up to that point were just as crazy as the sighting, if not more crazy. So that really made me take a deep dive into the UFO subject even more. Like, I was already into it, but after that, I'm start, you know, reading more books and stuff like that. And so, you know, and actually at that time, I'm already practicing meditation. So, but anyway, so going past that, just that kind of started this whole string of events that happened. Now, probably I want to say maybe 3 months later, I have to look at the actual month that, where it took place, but it was about, I want to say 2-3 months later, I was in this car accident and I had, so at the time I thought it was a near death experience. Obviously, you know, I wasn't that as, you know, badly messed up as I thought I was. So I call it a trauma induced OBE. So a trauma induced out of body experience. Where I, you know, I was above the entire scene of the crash, and when that happened, I thought I was dead. You know, from my awareness, like I had the awareness to think, oh, so that's it, huh? And I saw the car accident and all this, and you know, during that whole thing, I came face to face with this being, and I was just, you know. I don't know. I had this sense of oneness, not just with the being, but with the entire universe. And then it kind of that part ended, and I end up waking up in a hospital bed and all that. But the almost more significant part of that was the next day, the following day, I get home and I'm just in my room, cleaning my room. I grateful to be alive. And I'm like, you know, even though that was a very transformative experience, because again, when that whole thing happened, there was like no regrets. I was like totally cool at that point with the idea that I was basically dead, I guess you can say, right? It was very transformative in that it shows you something way deeper about reality is the only way I can explain it. And it's the next day, I'm in my room, I'm cleaning, grateful to be alive and even to have had the experience. I'm still kind of, not completely centered yet to where I was before this happened. I'm still kind of affected by it, I guess, still in the aftermath. And then out of nowhere, I have this this voice come into my entire body. I can feel the whole, I can feel it throughout my body and in my mind. And it said, come outside. But as soon as I heard, that voice, I instantly knew everything that was happening. I knew that I was going to go outside and there's going to be some craft there. And I can't explain how, but I instantaneously, people would call this like a telepathic lock on. Knew what was going to take place to some extent. So I ran outside and, I moved past where the trees were and I can hear humming. So I look directly above me and, there's just this, craft and it's almost like a hexagon. Like it has six sides but the sides, the edges are rounded. They're not, like flat and sharp, and it's a dark metal. So it's like not an orb or something. This is like a physical, craft, almost like a disc, but again, like a hexagon, and it's humming. And I just have this entire, elated feeling. I am overwhelmed with joy. And, cause that's the feeling that I got from this connection, I could call it, with these entities. I'm freaking out, but it's still moving. It's like just moving slowly and silently. And it can't be more than 80 feet above me. And it's still humming. And then it disappears and then reappears, across the street over this lake where I lived. And it has all these lights going around it, like blue, white, green, red, yellow, just swirling around it. And then other ones appeared. There's that one and then two other ones appeared, and there's a whole event that took place where they're appearing and disappearing and moving around the sky slowly for almost a half an hour. But before that had passed, I ran into my house and, two of my family members were there. And I said, come outside. They're like, why? I said, they're here. They're saying, who's here? I said, just come outside. So I took my family members outside and they were able to witness it. And, I have to imagine they were just as amazed as me. And, after actually that half hour, so the way that this whole kind of sighting ended was that two of them were flying towards each other like this. And the lights are spinning around while they're heading towards each other. And as soon as they're about to crash, and I'm thinking in my head, holy shit, they're going to crash. As soon as they like make contact, they just both disappeared. And that ended that. And, when this happened, I'm like, dude, this is it. This is going to be all over the news and it's going to be disclosure tomorrow. Like I remember like, this is insane. And I called some friends and told them what happened or whatever, but I'm like looking on the news and stuff and nothing, it was just like nothing. I didn't see any UFO report cited on that day or whatever, but it was just, again, I thought it was disclosure was happening, but apparently it didn't. So that whole string of events occurred within a few months, and that's actually what led me to CE5.
Thanks for sharing. That's pretty intense. Okay, and just a bit of a recap that you've said there. You had those childhood experiences and very personal. You then, and further down the line, you see this fireball in the sky that's preceded by, you know, being asked about UFO sightings, and then someone else asks you in the family about UFO sightings. You then see this fireball that you're in the car, and then you're in this accident that, like you say, it wasn't as bad an accident that you had a near-death experience, but it was trauma-induced out of body, which then leads you to the following day having this really intense experience and closer kind of contact experience as well. That's incredible. Do you think all of this stuff happened to you? Do you think you were just born in tune to these sorts of experiences, or do you think they've happened for a reason?
I mean, in my own ego idea, right? My own I reality, I tend to think there's a reason for it, right? But I'm just as open to the idea that it's just a roll of the dice, right place, right time. And, you know, part of me being on this quest is I hope I find out, you know, because I don't have all the answers. I wish I had the answers to that. And those questions actually very early on, like, is there a reason for this? Was that I had these experiences drove me. That was part of the initial drive for me, you know, pursuing this, you know, engaging the phenomenon, right? Because I had these encounters and I wanted to engage the phenomenon and not kind of just be a bystander.
Now, that's as good a reason as any to want to try and get in touch or contact whatever entities or beings may be at play within all of this is very personal to you as well. Now, that's what I'm going to start talking now about CE5. Okay, did you come into this looking for CE5, or was it known by something else? Now, CE5, as some people may know, is a little bit more of a franchise these days for some. But if you want to just talk a little bit about what it was known as when you came into it and explain what CE5 or human initiated contact is.
Okay, sure. I just want to give a little backstory on that just to say, after those experiences, I just went into like a deep, deep dive. I found the Disclosure Project. I found Dr. Greer's work because of the Disclosure Project. I was amazed something like that happened with all these high level witnesses in Washington, D.C. 2001. And I'm thinking, like, how did I not hear this happen? So, you know, in the midst of that, I was like, who is this guy who set this up? You know, and this random guy I had never heard of. And that's Dr. Stephen Greer. So I started to look into him, you know, like, who's Stephen Greer? You know, I don't know if it was Google at that time or you know, which search engine it was, but I ended up finding his work on CE5. So at that point, CE5 was known. CE5 actually was known starting in like 1992. So I got heavily involved into the CE5 work because, after having those experiences, I never really thought, oh, let me try to reach out to this intelligence. So when I found CE5, I'm like, why didn't I even think of that? You know what I mean? This is still early on, right after I found the, right after I had the experiences, I found this work. So that's why I got involved with the CE5 work. And I actually created the first social networks of CE5 back in around maybe 2009. So CE5 was created by Dr. Greer, the terminology and the protocols. But what we call CE5 is, you know, it's human initiated contact. That whole idea goes back hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. So again, CE5 is a human initiated contact, and under Dr. Stephen Greer, he has his own protocols for doing that. But there was another group called Mission Rama who were doing the same, I want to say like 90% the same exact thing that Dr. Greer was doing, but he was doing it in 1974 in Lima, Peru. And there was a whole, movement of contact activists in the 1970s in South America, and it was pretty big, and they had local media coverage, and they had actually very good footage of some of their encounters. They make bigger claims of actual face-to-face interactions with entities, but of course there's no pictures of that. But they do have some really good UFO footage from their events there that was documented by local media. And it wasn't just random. They invited the media and said, listen, at this time, this day and this time, there's going to be a sighting. And lo and behold, you know, whatever, Wednesday, 10 o'clock, a ship appears or two ships appear, and there's a whole interaction that goes on. And they're utilizing the same kind of ideas like meditation and consciousness, which is what CE5 is known for. So, and then you want to go back further than that. There's the guy, John Dee. I forget what year, maybe the 17 or 1800s. And he was using what he called the Enochian magic and having these interaction with angels or, you know, non-human intelligence who were communicating ideas and stuff. So this kind of thing, actually, as the further you go back in time, the further you see that there's some kind of contact between humans and whatever we want to, you know, ascribe to non-human intelligence, some other kind of entities. Again, so that the idea of CE5 really goes way back. However, Dr. Stephen Greer, in my opinion, did probably the most modern job of framing that and, you know, giving people tools to go out and do the work. So his work with that is actually very important in kind of putting that together and kind of rebranding contact in a way that people say, oh, there's a whole method. You have the CE5 protocols and there's a methodology and you do that and you can have these interactions. So that's kind of some of the background on CE5 as an idea.
Now, for the purpose of the interview, we'll go with CE5. I know quite a lot of people are very the D word, not disclosure. Why can't I? Divided. I don't know why that escaped me. They're divided on Stephen Greer, and we're going to come to talk about Dr. Greer as well, okay? Because we have to. But going forward just now, we'll go with CE5, okay? And lots of people are asking, though, when you've decided personally you've had these experiences and you want to try and contact these beings, engage the phenomenon, as you've called the channel, other people will have their reasons as well. How do you then, or how would you recommend someone goes about starting to even try and contact some other life form or intelligence using CE5, of course?
Okay, so CE5, you know, with, again, under the umbrella of Dr. Stephen Greer, he has his set of protocols, and they work. It's like training wheels, right? So his Dr. Stephen Greer's method is you practice. He says you can do any form of meditation as far as the basis of it. So you do a meditation for about, you know, however long you want. You can do 20 minutes, 30 minutes, half an hour, or, you know, an hour, whatever it is. So, and after you do your meditation and you're settled down, you know, you have a clear, calm mind. Your monkey mind that has all these random thoughts is kind of relaxed to an extent. Then you go through what he calls coherent thought sequencing. And Dr. Stephen Greer describes the coherent thought sequencing as either remote viewing or kind of like an advanced version or coherent version of visualization, because, you know, not everybody believes that they can remote view or whatever. That's almost beside the point. But you go through a visualization process of, you know, using your mind's eye or your inner vision to look basically through the universe and visualize that you're connecting with these non-human intelligences, and you vector them by, you know, visualizing backwards to where you are on Earth, you know, in your state, city, town, backyard, wherever you are. So you actually go through that process called coherent thought sequencing for another, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, you know, visualizing that you're going, that you're peering out with your mind's eye into the universe to see some of these entities or beings or intelligences, and then visually guiding them back to your location. And that's basically Greer's main claim to fame as the CE5 protocols.
Now, one of the issues is that Stephen Greer also has his app, which you can pay a one-off fee for. And listen, in this field, different people have different ways of making money or funding what they do. Even what I do, what you do, takes time, takes money for equipment, costs, all that sort of stuff as well, okay? But you can obviously pay for the app, which talks you through these protocols. Is that correct?
Yes, but anything that's on that app, you can find for free. But okay. People like having a nice app on your phone. It's dressed up nice. It's organized. I think you can, once it's downloaded, you can access everything offline. So if you're in like a dead zone area, you can just listen to meditations on there. But it's not going to be any different from any of his guided meditations that you can find on YouTube and download to your phone.
Okay, and we'll come back to some of the issues people have had with that as well. But that's how it's done and the idea behind it. What sort of experiences can people expect, or what results can they expect to get from one of these successful meditations?
Right. I kind of want to say on the side, maybe you want to talk about it later, but that those are the CE5 protocols that I was just discussing before. But that's literally the idea of it being training wheels is basically it's a kind of big thing. And you don't have to do those protocols. You can literally sit still and just do nothing and have it happen. But I'll get into that later, I guess. But the kind of you can't really expect what's going to happen. And there's a whole range that can occur, and it all depends on the individual. I guess you can say their affinity to contact. There's so many unknowns that when you're talking about CE5, I can go out and dictate and say, you should expect this based on this experience level or whatever. But again, as you can see, I had all these kind of, pretty extreme experiences, and I didn't do CE5 at all. And again, there has to be some kind of reason how that occurred. Generally speaking, depending on what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. So if you're kind of going out and you're like, oh, I'm going to do a 20-minute meditation outside and look in the sky, you might, you'll probably see, you could see like some of the orbs that people report. And again, there's levels of interaction. So if it's something that's questionable as a satellite, you can use satellite apps like Heavens Above. Also, there was an app called Space Junk that showed you space debris. I don't know if that one's around anymore. So there's different apps you can use to discern if you're looking at something conventional. And if you see something like an orb that's passing by and it's flashing on a pattern like every 7 seconds or so, that's the rotation of the object, and it's very likely space junk or something like that. But again, you can see some of these orbs, and the key with CE5 or in a bigger picture contact work is the interaction. So the quality of interaction is going to define as if it's a genuine CE5 or not, because a lot of times, many people new to it, it's actually their first time really sky watching. So a lot of things they see in the sky, they kind of jump at and like, oh, it worked. Well, I mean, you're going to have to really do your homework. And a lot of people, of course, they're just getting into it. They're expecting to see something, and they see something in the sky that is, lights up. So they assume, it's contact and that's not always the case. So that's something to keep in mind. You want to, something that you see in the sky, you want to kind of go down a process of elimination and try to find out what it is. And when you come to the thing of like, okay, it's an unknown, that's a genuine CE5. So again, with these orbs, right? Some things you can see stationary flashing in the sky, or you'll see it jump from point to point. And when I mean jump to point, I don't mean like flash here and then come a few inches over and flash here in the sky. I mean, it's a clear, distinguished flash here. And then like a second later, a few feet up in your eyes, which would be thousands of feet, just blip in there and kind of like dance around the sky like that. You're obviously dealing with something that's anomalous. And if it's responsive to your thought process and awareness, that's another kind of key indicator. So if you're seeing this orb and, you think in your mind, okay, is that is that, you know, is it really contact? And it stops. And then does, you know, that's obviously another indicator of something kind of strange. And there's a whole spectrum of things you can see. Okay. So you could see like a few orbs in the sky, something like that. There's times when there are orbs that come down on ground level. And I know people that have done UFO field work that's not CE5 that have had this happen. And there are people that are experiencers. I think Scott Brown, who runs the group in the field, he's not a CE5er, but he's a field worker. And he's going out with the expect to, you know, to see some kind of contact UFOs. And he's had things like that happen too. So that just shows you how the intention of what you're doing is actually the key role. So there can be lights that come on the sky, but again, a lot of this stuff is unpredictable and it happens very fast. And, you know, unless you have everything set up to pre-record everything that's going on around you, you're probably not going to get some stuff. Now, Dr. Greer has actually recorded some good stuff, but you know, unfortunately he's got some embarrassing misidentifications as well that kind of muck up, and then people say, oh, well, it's all nonsense. You know, all the documentation he has, which is unfortunate because he has some really good stuff. But you know, again, as far as the spectrum of what can happen, there's stuff like that that I'm mentioning, which is on a kind of novice level, just going out once or twice a week, you can experience those things, you know, fairly easily as long as you're serious about it. But then there's somebody in my family, I'll tell you, it was their first CE5, and they knew I was into this and whatever. So they are like, okay, let me try it with you. So I did this. I did a CE5 with them. I just did a 20 minute meditation. I'm telling them, like, listen, if nothing happens, don't be concerned. Don't worry about it. We're just testing it out. And this is your first time. I get it. You know, we don't have to like kind of try so hard. So I was not expecting much, you know, and after we did our meditation, they said, I got a message say to look for the colors. And I'm thinking like, I'm skeptical of this person. Even though I shouldn't be, even as somebody with experiences and somebody who was doing the CE5 work for several years at that point. And I'm like, you know,
because you don't have that prerequisite or the bias there that's what it is. So that's good to know though, that you, sorry to interrupt, but I like that you've got that attitude towards it, that, yeah, but is it happening? Is it legit? Because you're going that little bit extra, you're going that bit further.
Yeah. I even with my own stuff, and I'll just say this to be clear, that when you have that question, you can still go out and do this work honestly and have a level of skepticism. And when the phenomenon appears, it's not going to make you guess. If it's there, it's going to show you as soon as the question comes to your mind, is this like something legit? It will usually do something where you're like, okay, I got the message, because they're not coming there to waste your time or their time. The intelligence is going to be clear in demonstrating that it is, you know, anomalous phenomena. That's another intelligence. It's not some kind of like, oh, I don't know if that's a satellite. Usually if you think that, it will do something to demonstrate that it is clearly another intelligence. So, this person said, look out for the colors. And I'm kind of thinking like, okay, maybe they just got that in their meditation. And, you know, I didn't think much of it other than that. And, you know, I hope this person doesn't hear me say this, right? So we step out of the room where we're doing the meditation, and two of my other family members are like, somebody's taking pictures from outside. I'm like, what are you talking about? Because they're sitting down in the dark watching a movie. So they have the lights off. And they said, there's flashes of light coming in the house. And I saw it, and the light lit up the inside of the house. And, you know, again, because all the lights are off and they're watching a movie. So I'm like, oh, crap. Okay. I'm already assuming like, okay, I think something's going on at this point, because that's too much of a coincidence. And they didn't know what we were doing. They didn't know we were going to do a CE5 or anything like that. They're just innocent bystanders. So I run outside, and my laser was set there by the door. And I don't suggest people use lasers. They're dangerous. Don't use them. So I grab my laser. Disclaimer. So I grab my laser and I go outside, and there's these two, I guess you can say these two orbs, these two crafts. and they're moving like this. So one's moving in one direction, one's moving the other direction. And I flash my laser in between them, and it goes like this. One flashes like this, and one flashes like this. And I'm like, okay, this is okay. This is going on. All right. So the person that I did the CE5 with was with me. And as soon as those two kind of flashed at each other, just second by second, the entire sky started to light up. Anywhere you looked in the sky, there were different types of activity. And again, this is somebody's first CE5. And even as CE5s go for me, I've had really extraordinary things happen. But this was the most visually aesthetic, like, you know, F you guys, kind of like we're here kind of thing. You know, I jokingly called it like an intergalactic initiation, just because there, you know, I would look this way and there was like a purple orb, clearly in the sky, but I could see it was part of a structure. For many of these different things, there were actually what I perceived as structures around the lights. So there was this purple one over here, and then I'd look somewhere else and there'd be a red one. I'd look somewhere else, there'd be a green one, and they're all kind of either moving or flashing or just stationary. And then, you know, I go inside and I get the other family members that come out here, come out here. I think, you know, after that last experience in 2007, they kind of figured they knew. And at this point, this is years later. So they knew I was into CE5 at this point, and they knew I was doing the work. So they came out. And again, this whole thing went on for about a half an hour of all these different lights in the sky like that. And it was just incredible. And there were flash bulbs and there were alleged streakers, which looks kind of like a shooting star, but they were making zigzags in the sky and coming from different directions, like second after second after second. And this is another one of those things where I thought this was going to kind of be in the media in some way, just because there was an overwhelming amount of activity. And I don't like to tell the story and like get people's hopes up of this is could happen, because I've had a lot of great experiences, but even to this day, this one was the most visually like in your face, you know, other than that metal disc that was like really low, because it was just, it was insane the amount of anomalous phenomena that was going on. And then towards the end of it, there were actually orbs down on the ground, just a few feet away from me, and they were almost in like a structure. So there was like three here, four here, two here, and almost like they were kind of aligned in like almost a pyramid structure. And these were like yellow orbs, and you know, they were pulsing or whatever, and I was like freaking out even with experience at this point, because again, this is just, not expected. And you know, I kind of kicked myself for this, but the only reason I guess that this thing ended was because I'm like, I got to go get my friend, one of my friends who does CE5 with me, my friend Dave. So I'm like, I got to get Dave. Cause he was supposed to do a CE5 with us that night. And then, you know, I was getting ready to leave, alone. Everybody else was going to stay there. And so I can go get my friend Dave so he can see this, because this, you know, he does CE5 with me over almost, you know, we were doing it several, maybe three, four times a week at that time. And me and him had never seen something like this together during CE5. You know, we saw the typical stuff I was explaining before. So that was extraordinary. And that happened during a legit CE5. So I did the CE5 process and this kind of event happened.
So again, incredible experience. Now, taking you back a little bit before I circle around to my next question here, I'm one of those people that I would love to try it. I'm a little impatient though, so the idea of meditating, especially for me, is a bit, really, I'd be like constantly thinking, how long's it been? You know, must have been 20 minutes. Okay, it's been 30 seconds. But like I've said before, where I live, it's a very clear sky. So when I'm taking my dog for a walk at night, I will walk about with my head basically looking up at the stars. Given my interest in what I do, I've got a UFO podcast. I'm interested in CE5, remote viewing, aliens, all of the above. I'm clearly looking for something. You're always looking at the stars for like, I want to see something. So that want or desire is there for a start, okay? Not that I'm filming, I'm just looking. I just want to see something, whether it's a triangle, a craft, or a light moving, just or a flash. Now, I've looked out before, and when I've just been in the mood, I've just had that thought to myself, or I've spoken out loud or quietly and just went, if there's anything up there, quite happy to see something, you know, and you're just scanning the sky, any lights, you know, show me something, and regularly nothing happens. And okay, I don't spend long doing it, but there's been quite a few occasions, more than 3, 4, 5, where I've been looking, I've said that, and a light's come across. Now, I'm quite used to seeing the ISS, space station passes over all the time. I'm used to seeing satellites going along, and they've got that kind of slow, steady pace they have as they go along, the light in the sky. So I'm used to that kind of stuff in aircraft and what as well. But there's been occasions where lights moved along and I've went, okay, and you're thinking to yourself, that's interesting, I've said that, and this light's popped into view, could be a satellite, show me something else, and you get the flash or the pulse. And for me, I tend to go, okay, that's interesting, and I kind of stop there. I've also seen lights that have moved a little bit and seem to wave in and out. I know when you're looking at stars or lights in the sky, they can appear just from the dimmer of the light. They can appear to move in ways they actually aren't. But I've seen lights that have quite clearly waved in and out of, you can see the stars against the background where you can see them moving in and out. And again, I kind of stop at that point of, okay, maybe that's something, maybe it's not. You have described an intense experience on the other end of the spectrum. So I've probably had quite basic light, you know, incidents, if that was real, you know, encounters as such. It may have been something else, like you say, could have been space junk, who knows, we're never going to find out. But what I want to know is, why would these entities or intelligences even bother to show up for Andy or James when we're doing whatever we're doing? What do you think is their purpose or reason for even bothering to put in any level of effort to show themselves because someone has asked?
This goes back. So during that 2007 experience, I part of that whole experience, I guess, like I said, was a download. And, you know, I clearly got the communication that they kind of either want or have a relationship with us. And again, these are impressions I'm getting and I'm interpreting them. I don't know if they're representational. I don't know if these are my own thoughts kind of based on, but so I tend to think that they want some kind of engagement with us. I don't know why, but I clearly did get that message. And, you know, that was another reason why I was really pushing forward with the CE5 work. Cause it's like, we're, you know, building this communication that whoever, you know, maybe when open contact finally happens, there's going to be more to say about that. I don't know. But I clearly got the message that they wanted some kind of interaction with us, you know? So that's my own personal thought on that.
Now, when we're talking about these beings or entities, Stephen Greer, who, and we're mentioning him a lot, and I'm sure most people listening are aware of who Stephen Greer is, but if you're not, then the movies or documentaries are available on Netflix and Amazon Prime, and go and do a little bit of digging and research as well, just to kind of see that the basics of why we're talking about what we are. But Stephen Greer pushes the idea that whatever these are, they are very friendly. They are trying to help us as a species, give us warnings and messages that, you know, we're going about things the wrong way, especially when it comes to weapons. And he's very much against the idea of a threat narrative and what previously TTSA and Luis Elizondo and people like that are now potentially going down that route of. Do you subscribe to the idea that whatever these entities are, they're all coming from another planet, another solar system? Do you think it's multiple things happening at once, different realities and dimensions coming in? What's your personal thoughts, given your experiences, on where these beings are from potentially and what their kind of message is?
that is all for this week's show. Thank you very much for listening. Please remember to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. You can like, retweet and subscribe. That would all be very much appreciated. The shows are being uploaded onto YouTube as we speak more and more. You can sign up at patreon.com/thatufopodcast to access the shows ad-free as well. Please get in touch on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, That UFO Podcast. Of course, on Twitter, it's @UFOUAPAM. And again, folks, as always, keep looking up. You never know what you might see.
It wasn't a tic-tac and not quite a saucer, more like a hubcap designed by Chaucer. A little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right outside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it an issue. I don't think he expected me to see his ass, but I'd had some champagne and smoked a little rat. Meditated again and stayed full on meta. Can't imagine how it could have been any better. I got to the top of the stairs and there he was. Like, you awake? I was about to abduct you, cuz. I jumped back and nearly kissed myself. Then I climbed out the window after the elf. And I woke up in my bed and there was something on my head. And everything was weird and everything was red. And I called up my boys. They thought this was noise. They thought it was a dream. They thought it was my toys. They thought it was my problems. And they think I should see therapy. And I don't know what it is because it doesn't really scare me.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.